It's all about the sound. Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Carolina. Don't you wanna get down and dirty? It's Texas, I'm thirsty.
This is the SEC Spin.
SEC Spin.
With Jay Ruark and Brian Daniel.
Welcome back to SEC Spin Radio. This is episode 14, season 2, with Jay and BD.
Glad to be here.
I bet you are. Got a good show tonight. Thanks for pulling all this together.
Well, I tried my best. I'm usually not the writer. I'm usually just the talent. But
hey, it's program director.
It's tough. You're it's tough being
in.
Both.
You're standing in. You're standing in. All right, so this is what we've got. This we've got on the show. We've got the Final Four talk, which is big. It's big. The hard part is going to be waiting, what, like 8 weeks until the actual games?
Yeah, I really wish they would do bowl season a little bit different. I wish that they would go the Final Four I get, giving the Final Four, you know, the best four teams, give them some time to rest, recover, and get ready, and kind of that be the finale going into not a big fan of being on New Year's Eve. I really think that's going to take away. I mean, people they celebrate New Year's Eve most the same way every year. I really just don't see, unless you have a team that's playing or you are a diehard college football fan, I think the casual fan is really not going to be doing a whole lot of watching this year until the national championship. That's my personal opinion. I mean, I am literally choosing not to have any New Year's Eve plans this year strictly so I can watch the Alabama-Michigan State game. My girlfriend is not too thrilled about that, but I'm a diehard fan. I've talked to people that said, oh, well, we're doing this, I'm not going to watch, and they're pretty avid football fans. So I really don't like that. I wish the bowl season would start right away this upcoming weekend, or give it a week off, let them do the Heisman, start next week, and go kind of up till Christmas time, take that time off for Christmas, then start up New Year's Day with the bowl season and the national championship the following week. I hate this long layover, and then there's just these scattered games throughout, and it's just kind of ridiculous.
Well, now that you mention it, it wasn't really on the schedule, but when I was growing up, it was different. Obviously, there was the conference affiliations with the bowls, and so throughout the whole holiday season, there were pretty good games.
Yeah,
when they started when the BCS was initiated, it really, there was no reason for me to watch any bowls unless it was my team, because the best games and the best teams were all playing after the season.
Right.
So the playoff hasn't done anything to diminish that. So we'll hit that up. You've got number one, Clemson, nothing changed there. Then Alabama, Michigan State, and then Oklahoma. We're also going to touch on the Heisman, this Heisman race a little bit. Some interesting stuff going on there, we think. A little bit on coaching. We've got the bowl season outside of the playoff. Ole Miss is in a New Year's Six bowl for the second year in a row. We'll talk about get some thoughts on that. Rick to Miami. So we'll maybe as a tangent to the
coaching carousel.
The other coaches.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So, and then tweets of the week, and then spin around the league. Bowl edition. So anyway, that's our show for tonight. Before we get started, I had a question for you, and I guess it's on our second topic on the Heisman. So we've got three invitees, right?
Yep.
Derrick Henry,
Deshaun Watson,
and what's McCaffrey's first name?
Christian McCaffrey.
How could I forget that?
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey. So here's my question to you before you get started. Who's going to win?
Honestly, it's not going to surprise me if Christian McCaffrey wins, and the reason being the hate and kind of that anti-SEC bias. Do I think Derrick Henry is very deserving? Absolutely. Christian McCaffrey's all-purpose yards, and kind of the way he has single-handedly put Stanford on his back has been crazy, because he's the kickoff return man. He does some punt returning. He lines up as a slot receiver. He catches a lot of balls out of the backfield, and he runs. Derrick Henry, again, I don't want to tackle him. You don't want to tackle him. Derrick Henry lines up in the backfield, and he runs you over. That's pretty much what Derrick Henry is. That's not taking away from his talent. I'm sure Derrick Henry could return kickoffs just fine. I'm sure he could return punts just fine. I'm sure Derrick Henry can catch the ball out of the backfield just fine. But Nick Saban keeps him kind of a one-dimensional guy. Christian McCaffrey does a little bit of everything, and I think that is going to be a big thing for voters this year, is who is the most the most talented, valuable player. And we've had some years past where that's been up for debate on who gets it and who doesn't. Deshaun Watson, I'm not taking anything away from the guy at all, but I think the misconception is with Clemson, I'm not even calling it a misconception, but I think the perception of Clemson, excuse me, is that Clemson has talent everywhere and that he can throw to pro receivers, he can hand it off to pro running backs, whereas Christian McCaffrey and Derrick Henry are the two running backs that are working without pro quarterbacks, without pro receivers, without all this pro, these pro specialty players around them, and they are kind of this special guy on their team. So I think that's what takes away from Deshaun Watson a little bit. I think this is going to come down to Henry and McCaffrey.
All right, so here's a follow-up question. Who do you think is going to be the better pro out of those three?
I'm going to have to go Derrick Henry. I think Henry has a lot of miles on that tank, but he is a beast. I mean, that is a beast. And I think he's going to be a better pro for a running back. Now, I'm talking, if we're going to talk pure running backs between McCaffrey and Henry, I'm going to go Henry. Deshaun Watson, I mean, he's a different player. It's kind of hard to compare the players. I'm just not sure McCaffrey, as far as, I'm not saying he's not a talented guy, but I mean, we've seen a lot of those guys come out that are kind of that multi, can kind of do a little bit of everything, they just have a trouble finding their niche and being, I mean, one of the only guys I can really think of off the top of my head that did that was Randall Cobb. I mean, that's just a special, he found the right offense, the right team, and he could do a little bit of everything. I'm not sure McCaffrey, I mean, if he gets drafted by the right team, then yeah, he's got a chance. But I just think it's easy to take Derrick Henry as your running back and I think he could play right away.
All right, I think Henry's going to win it with due respect to your point there. I think you're right. There is some if not anti-SEC, some anti-Alabama sentiment out there. But I think Henry's going to win it. I wish he'd have gotten 2,000 yards.
I did too.
You and I talked about that. We exchanged a couple of texts about it. He was, 11 or 12 yards short. I wish he'd have hit 2,000 yards. And you got to go back to that Charleston. It's not the most important thing in the world, obviously. But the Charleston Southern game, I think he got like 50 yards. They probably just played him a few minutes the first half and they took him out. Here's an interesting thing that I heard, though, and the reason I asked the second question about who's going to be a better pro. On the radio earlier this week, you know, every now and then they have like the odds guy on there, he's a Vegas expert, and he said he would bet a lot of money that Derrick Henry would be out of the league before he got 4,000 yards. And he set that up. He said, all right, dude had 4,000 yards as a high school, whatever it was he had in high school, it may have been 4,000 yards.
Senior year, he had 4,000 yards.
Well, that's what it was. He said, I don't think he'll make 4,000 yards in the NFL. And, yeah, you know, there was this kind of collective gasp on the channel. And I was driving. I was like the same way. And the guy said, he's averaging 40 carries a game. And you look at the average running back in the NFL, it was like 3 years, which I think that's a little misleading, but just like what you said, he's playing against SEC defenses for 3 years and he's getting all those carries. He said a body just can't take that. I hadn't looked at it that way before. I mean, you and I have talked about running backs on the show before. You know, back in the day, quarterbacks and running backs were in the top five or six picks every year. I don't think I would take a, I don't know if I'd take a running back in the first round. Every now and then you're going to get a game changer like an Adrian Peterson, and Henry could be that guy. Did Eddie Lacy go mid first? He was in the 15 to 25.
Yeah, Eddie
right?
Lacy was the Packers first round pick that year.
I see Henry a lot like Eddie Lacy, but I don't know. I just thought that interesting. Also interesting is the guy said he thought McCaffrey would be the best pro out of the three.
I think he has the talent to be the best pro, but I think McCaffrey has to have the right team and the right offense. You can't if the Denver Broncos had Peyton Manning healthy and they draft Christian McCaffrey, I mean, what is his role in that offense? I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Whatever Peyton says it is.
Well, if Peyton says it is, then I guess it is. But I'm saying if the Patriots drafted Christian McCaffrey, that's a different ballgame.
That'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he could be a great pro with somebody like the Patriots or even the Packers. I mean, a team that lines up in shotgun and interchanges receivers and running backs all the time and uses, you know, a guy like that for special teams. Yeah, I think he has the talent to do it. I'm not saying he doesn't have the talent. I'm just saying it has to be a right situation for a guy like that, where every team needs a pounding running back that can run you over at times, whether it's short yardage or you know, just your first and second down back. I mean, every team needs a running back. I think McCaffrey's more of a specialist.
All right, you said you wouldn't be surprised if McCaffrey won it. Is that who you're predicting to win it?
No, I think Henry gets it. I think Henry gets it. He set the singles. I mean, he broke Herschel Walker. Yeah, he broke Herschel Walker's records with the yards and the single season touchdown record. I think he's deserving, and I think he'll end up getting it based on the fact that when you start talking about Herschel Walker as one of the greatest of all time, and Henry beat him. And if you compare Henry and Ingram, who won in 2009, Henry is head and shoulders above that. So I think Henry deserves it. I think he should get it. I think he will win. I think Watson's the odd guy, you know, the odd man out. But I think McCaffrey and Henry, I think it's going to be closer than people think. But I think Henry gets it.
Also, you look at the track records in the NFL with Saban, Alabama running backs, with Ingram and Trent Richardson.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure Richardson's even in the NFL anymore.
Richardson is a free agent. Eddie Lacy struggles.
Right, and that's what Trent Richardson and I have in common, is we're both free agents.
Yeah, man, me too. I've even got a busted knee, and I'm still a free agent.
That's right. So he's not in the league right now.
No. Eddie Lacy showed a lot of promise.
I was surprised. I thought Richardson was a can't miss.
Well, Eddie Lacy showed a lot of promise early. But apparently he's having a lot of off-the-field issues. Apparently he's having a lot of Johnny Manziel-type issues where he's going out, which I'm like, in Green Bay, I mean, how much can you go out? But apparently he's going out a lot, kind of wasting away that talent. Now, Mark Ingram has found a solid role with the Saints. It didn't get off to the start that they thought it would, but he's kind of outlasted all the running backs there, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, all these, even Chris Ivory, who went to the Jets. I mean, he's outlasted all these guys and really been kind of the Saints guy since he came into the league, which... Saints aren't exactly the greatest team, but again, he has outlasted those guys and actually had a pretty decent career, even though it wasn't what everybody was expecting. But compared to Eddie Lacy and Trent Richardson, Ingram has turned out okay.
All right, so you think just Fournette and Mayfield too little or too much too late? You know, he hadn't been there the whole season with Fournette. Do you think this is just inviting three instead of five? Or do you think them not playing last weekend is the biggest contributor?
I think really what happened was I think the voters were so in favor of the other three that it didn't even make – I think in their minds it didn't even make sense to include the other two guys. Were they deserving? Absolutely. They were definitely deserving to go. And we'll see Saturday, you know, where the final rankings were and the votes and all that, because they'll be on the ballot. Even though they weren't the final three invited, you usually see the top 10. I just think for Fournette – you know, started off so unreal, but then the way he played against Alabama, I think absolutely sealed his fate.
Yeah,
I mean, the fact that he only got a total of 31 yards against Alabama, the number one defense in the nation. I mean, if you, it's anything to run over little schools, but when you play against a team like that, you know, if he would have had 100 yards rushing, two touchdowns, it would have been a close game. Okay, you really don't pay much attention to that. When you get 30 yards and nothing, that's and you get
and
blown
Henry.
Out.
And
yeah,
Henry
and then Henry just blew him out. That doesn't help. For Mayfield, you know, they kind of struggled early. He comes on like a gangbuster at the end of the season, but then they just didn't play that last weekend, and I think that really hurt him, because Henry had another huge game, McCaffrey had a huge game, and Watson had a huge game, and all three of those guys were conference champions. There's no conference championship in the Big 12. So that there, I think that hurt Mayfield.
Okay, so let's wind it back a little bit. Last Saturday was actually, it was pretty fun. It was one of my favorite Saturdays of the year so far.
Yeah.
Iowa, Michigan State, Stanford, USC, our own Alabama, Florida, Clemson, North Carolina. Just what about some thoughts after, you know, now that we've had a couple of days to think about it? I'll be honest, I can't decide if the Florida-Alabama game was better or worse than I thought it would be. I thought Alabama would roll them, and they did. They ended up not covering the 18, but it was not a fun game to watch. You know, it was close early, but Florida couldn't do anything. So, I mean, I was watching it and watching Alabama. Once they got the lead, which they had the lead the whole time, you just didn't think Florida was a threat. couple of takeaways for me. You control Henry and make Coker have to beat you. I do wonder what would happen. But Coker makes some good throws in that game.
I think people forget how good that Florida defense is. And
that's fair.
And also, too, I mean, McElwain coached with Saban, so, I mean, he knows what he's going to do. Also, too, do you think Nick Saban was really going to come out and show you anything outside of – I mean, I think Saban did not want to come out and show anything because he knew all they had to do was just keep running the ball. The defense could shut down Florida, which they did. Now, Florida got a crazy lucky touchdown there at the end of the game, and they had the punt return. So, really, that was this close to being a 29-0 shutout. I think Nick Saban was playing extremely conservative football against Florida. Didn't want to show anybody in the Final Four anything. I think last year they weren't as conservative, and teams were able to scout them a little better. I think Coker is a sound quarterback that can make some good throws. I would say I trust Coker more than I trusted Blake Sims. Just as an overall, I know Sims.
He's a better quarterback.
He's a better, yeah. Sims was a good athlete back there, but not a true quarterback. I think they were just extremely conservative because they don't want to show anything. But again, I think Coker's fine. Derrick Henry, obviously. Alabama did not show anything. I mean, it was just, I'm going to hand the
you
ball off
Derrick
here.
You got Derrick Henry. What are they not showing?
Well, I think the thing about it is I think that you look at the other four teams, which we'll get into more, but I think he wants every team to just game plan for nothing but Derrick Henry. I think when we get to the playoff, I think we're going to see a little bit more than just Derrick Henry.
You know, going into the weekend, I was really looking forward to the – I was kind of looking forward to North Carolina and Clemson. I thought there may have been a chance at an upset there because North Carolina had been playing so well. But Clemson is really good, and I think Clemson does have momentum. But I was really looking forward to that Michigan State-Iowa game. I don't know why. I guess just new teams, but I was so glad not having Ohio State. Ohio State not being a factor was wonderful. But – watching that game, I came into a whole new respect for Iowa.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, you remember in Rocky IV when they started cheering? They're in Russia, right?
Right.
What do you say? It's Christmas Day. Is it New Year's Day or Christmas Day? It's Christmas Day, right?
Right.
And they started cheering. The Russians are cheering Rocky at the end. He won them over just with his heart and his endurance.
Steroids.
Come on. Rocky didn't do steroids, did he?
No, yeah. I love Rocky. That's one of my favorite movies, I'm just saying.
But Iowa kind of had that impression. I knew Michigan State was going to win the game going into it, but I found myself kind of pulling for Iowa by the end of it.
Well, I mean,
I was like the Russians in Rocky IV.
Well, and it was just kind of, it was just such a, it wasn't a normal back and forth game. I mean, it was just kind of an ugly, weird game that you found, like, I was the same way. I mean, I found like a respect for Iowa that I just kind of thought Michigan State is going to roll them. And it wasn't that way. And it took a 22-play heck of a drive from Connor Cook and company to get the game. Even Nick Saban came out this week and said he watched the whole last drive and was extremely impressed. And, I mean, I think that's more experience than it was anything. I mean, Michigan State has played in those games before. Iowa, not really. Plus, Michigan State has played a better schedule this year than Iowa has. I definitely think that came into play. But, yeah, I have a newfound respect for Iowa, and I wouldn't want to play Iowa in my bowl game, I can tell you that.
No, you know, they played good defense. I don't know how good Michigan State is offensively. I mean, I think Cook is good. Until that last drive, he was okay. But, man, I love watching CJ play. And that – when they scored the touchdown, he threw, was it an 80-yard touchdown pass? They answered the field goal and came back and took the lead. I think I had to go somewhere else because I didn't – actually, I thought I was just going to win because that was late in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Before Cook engineered the drive.
Yeah.
But Beathard is great.
Yeah, yeah. It was a fun – that last quarter was a fun quarter to watch. Especially, like you said, kind of new teams.
Yeah.
That I don't ever really watch it. That was a lot of fun. I thought Clemson, North Carolina, I'll say this, I was impressed with North Carolina to an extent. You know, they got beat by South Carolina that first game of
and
the year.
And for a limited time.
And then, yeah, and then it's just...
Clemson wound up pulling away.
Yeah, Clemson did, but it was kind of one of those things where I thought, man, I don't really trust how good North Carolina is, but they have some talent. The quarterback is decent. I think they're well coached. I just don't think they're very deep, and I think that's what got them. I mean, Clemson is loaded, and that's just not a good matchup for a team like North Carolina. And again, football, that's where football differs from basketball.
Yeah. That being said, I think Oklahoma-Clemson is the best shot at an upset.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you right now, I think Oklahoma is probably the team most equipped to win the whole thing. And the reason I say that is they are pretty dynamic on offense. They can throw. They can run. Baker Mayfield is a player. I think Baker Mayfield is the best quarterback, and this is not taking anything away from Deshaun Watson. I think Baker Mayfield is the best true quarterback in the whole playoff. And then Oklahoma can really play some good defense. We saw that in the Tennessee game when they
came
back.
So you like
back.
Oklahoma's defense against Clemson's offense?
I do.
Big 12 ACC is kind of it's a little compelling.
Yeah, I think it is too. I think that'll probably be as far as you know scoring and back and forth. That'll probably be the most quote fun game to watch. But Alabama Michigan State is going to be a fight.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that game? After watching most of both of those games on Saturday, those teams feel a lot alike to me.
They're a lot alike, and I think that's what's going to hurt Michigan State is because this is who Alabama excels against. They excel against a team that plays like them.
Yeah,
you are not. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a team that lines up and just runs the ball against Alabama. And really been successful. I mean, even in the Tebow years, Tebow was throwing all over the place. You know, but I mean, they were running, but they were throwing all over the place. Connor Cook is not throwing all over the place. And they're kind of a lineup. I mean, they're so similar. Cook and Coker are basically run a similar offense. They thrive on their defense. I think this is a good matchup for Alabama, and just the fact that that's their style. That's what they want to play. They want to play a slow, grinded out game. I was worried that Oklahoma, that's why I kind of wanted Michigan State to win and jump Oklahoma, because I was worried that Oklahoma is just not a great matchup for Alabama right now.
Yeah. That. do you think Michigan State should have jumped Oklahoma?
I think they deserving. Because
I mean, I'm okay with it.
Well, they won the conference championship. Do I think they're a better team if they played each other? I'm not going to say that, but they did win their conference championship, and there's something to be said about that. Plus, you look at their wins. I think their wins overall, based on the rankings and all that, I think their wins are probably overall a little bit better than Oklahoma.
Big 12?
Well, I think you,
I mean,
look
Big,
at
Big 12. Big 12 is a lot more credible now around the league than they were what 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah. Michigan State's last two wins of the season came against two top 10 teams. So that is something to be said for that. Plus, one of those was a conference championship game, and they held Ohio State to about 130 yards of total offense. And then the way they were able to come back and engineer that drive, I have no problem with Michigan State being number three. I wouldn't have argued Oklahoma being number three, yeah. But I think being the conference championship, I think the committee made a point again that it is important to have a conference championship and have that there. I feel like if it came down to who Alabama was going to play, if they were able to beat Michigan State, I think the reason that they match up better against Clemson is because I'm not sure Clemson has played anybody this year that is like Alabama. Oklahoma has played teams that thrive on their defense and want to grind it out and things like that. And so it's not going to be a surprise. Bob Stoops he was a defensive-minded guy. I mean, he comes kind of from that. So I don't think that's going to surprise Oklahoma. I think we'll maybe throw Clemson off just enough. But Bama really doesn't match up that well against Clemson or Oklahoma.
Well, so there you go. You know, and this is so much different than the college basketball tournament, where seeding is so important. Really, if you make the four, you're just looking at people like us and people like our listeners. They're just looking at matchups. The seeds don't matter, because you're playing for all four of these teams are playing for the championships. They're not playing for a Sweet 16 or an Elite 8 or a Final Four. They want to win the first game, and then they're going to play to win the second game. And they're all good. it's not even like the NFL playoffs, because seeding and home field advantage, you know, come into play.
Right.
A lot more there. So, you know, the fact that they jumped Oklahoma, I do like Alabama and Michigan State playing for some reason. To me, that's really interesting. And I like the ACC Big Ten match, ACC Big 12. Are they a Big 12 now? Or like the Big 16?
Yeah, I think they're like back to like the Big 8, but they're it's like still the Big 12.
So I feel good about it. So Alabama Oklahoma would have been fun too, but then you got Clemson and Michigan State. I think I like the way it is better. I prefer the way it landed.
I think too. I mean, give the committee some kudos here. You're going to get two similar styles of play playing two similar styles of play, and then in the winter playing each other. Right? You're going to get the run, grind it out, defensive minded teams playing each other, and you're going to get the high tempo scoring teams playing each other, and then the winner of those is going to play each other for the championship. Really doesn't get much better than that.
You're listening to SEC Spin Radio with Jay and BD. Thanks for joining us. All right, Jay, we've talked about this. We've talked about this in the last episode, but I saw a tweet and something I wanted to bring up and I didn't pick up on this until I saw the tweet. But Georgia, Missouri, and South Carolina all have coaching vacancies. We did our top 10 programs last episode. South Carolina, Missouri were on neither of our lists, but Georgia was. And so they all settle for defensive coordinators. And two of them, it looks like, defensive coordinators from the West.
Yeah, I don't know. We touched on the possibility of Kirby Smart going, and I mean that all became final. Kind of the whole, to beat Alabama, you don't try to out Bama Bama. You try to beat them in a way like Ole Miss, the way Ole Miss has gone after them, where we're going to spread it out.
Or
Urban Meyer. Yeah. I mean, you are not going to, you're not going to line up and run and play defense against Alabama. He's going to beat you at that game. So I'm not real sure what Georgia was, and I won't harp on the Georgia thing very long here on who I think they should have gone out and hired. But the fact that Georgia does not believe in themselves enough, that they felt that they had to go hire a defensive coordinator, just doesn't really sit well with me if I'm a Georgia fan. I mean, there are people arguing that it is a top five job, and rightfully so. That is deserving of going out and getting a great head coach that's proven himself at somewhere. I mean, look at Florida. Even Florida went after, used to be a coordinator, proved himself at Colorado State, and brought him in. Now, do they have an offense to speak of right now? Absolutely not. But they don't have their starting quarterback, and they wouldn't just play for the SEC championship, something Georgia hadn't done in a while. Okay, so that does not rub me the right way. What is South Carolina doing? I mean, to go after Will Muschamp, who is 1 year removed from a train wreck at Florida, to then going to Auburn and it not really going the way that they wanted it to, and it kind of being an ugly thing, to Auburn almost being like, man, we don't really want you, to then hiring him as your head coach. He's making over $3 million a year now from South Carolina. Florida's still paying him $1.5 million a year, and the guy has not been successful really, really since his days as Texas a defensive coordinator. I don't get that hire at all. Now, I know you're South Carolina, and you're not going to get an Urban Meyer or Nick Saban, but I mean, give somebody else a chance.
You can get a hot coordinator.
You could get a hot coordinator. You could even get a hot head coach, I felt like, from some other smaller school maybe.
Especially now when Spurrier came to the East was a lot stronger.
Yeah.
The current state of the SEC East makes the South Carolina job better than it actually is.
It's wide open because, I mean, really outside of Georgia and Florida, it's wide open. I mean, Kentucky, Vandy, Mizzou, and South Carolina are going to be fighting for a third spot. Well, Tennessee, excuse me, I guess the fourth spot there.
Kirby Smart makes more sense to me than Will Muschamp.
I agree with that.
I agree with you about – I had him in my top five. I think the Georgia job is a really good one. But if you're Georgia, it makes sense. Florida's got their way of getting coaches. Georgia's got their way. They like to keep it in the family. He's an alum. And Smart's name's been on several lists. They probably see it as a big get because I know Vanderbilt went after him, which
South Carolina went after him.
South Carolina went after him. I mean, neither of those are huge, but other teams have gone after Smart, so they probably feel like getting him away from Saban's staff and bringing, you know, establishing a winning culture. But I've said it before, I'm not sure, I don't know how imitable, you know, Saban's philosophy is. But Muschamp, I mean, for all the reasons you've already identified, I just don't understand. South Carolina should have taken a page out of Florida's book and found a head coach from a non-BCS school or a hot coordinator. I think they could have done that.
Well, and I mean, you know, kind of like what they did with – kind of like what Maryland did, going and getting Michigan's defensive coordinator. I mean, that was one of the hottest defensive coordinators in the country next to, you know, Kirby Smart. I just can't believe that they did that. I mean, there are several guys I would have gone after at South Carolina. Now, maybe you swing and a miss, but, I mean, guys I would have gone after for sure. That was really surprizing to me. Mizzou, a little bit surprising in the fact that just the week before Odom was interviewing for the Memphis head coaching job, they couldn't come to a financial agreement, and then Mizzou said, okay, we're going to hire him. You got to wonder how far down the list he was for Mizzou, if they were reaching out to guys and they didn't get anybody, and then went and got Odom, who couldn't even work out a financial agreement with Memphis. Now, I'm sure there's more to that story than we know, but that's not a good look when you and Memphis are kind of competing for the same guy and you're Mizzou. So, I'm just not a big fan of any of the hires. If you had to grade them, I would give Georgia the number one and Mizzou number two, just based on what I haven't seen, and three to South Carolina for Muschamp. But kind of speaking along those lines, if you're Georgia right now, you have to be extremely nervous. But you had to be smart enough to know going into this that if you fire Rick, the talks were already that Miami was going to go after him. Miami goes after him. That's where he was an alum there. You better make sure Kirby Smart knows what he's doing in hiring, not worrying about who his coordinator is right now, worrying about who's going to do his recruiting and help him recruit. Because Mark Rick has the state of Florida mapped out far better than Kirby Smart does. And that's what made Georgia good. Georgia thrived off of these Florida recruits that he would get to come to Georgia because of his ties in Florida. I think if there's a guy that could turn a place like Miami around, I think it's Mark Richt. I think Mark Richt is going to demand the respect that maybe hasn't been there. Are they going to have a packed stadium the first game of the season? Probably not. Is it going to take a couple years? Yeah. But Miami is going to be already much more respected than they have been in years because Mark Richt is there. And I guarantee Mark Richt is going to put a better product on the field than they've had in a long time. I think Kirby Smart's going to be on a shorter leash than he deserves just because of Mark Richt's recruiting in Florida and what that's going to mean for Georgia. They're going to have to kind of almost change where they're going and getting recruits from and use some of Kirby Smart's ties, which is going to then be him recruiting against Nick Saban. So this is going to be interesting for Kirby Smart. I mean, he's sandwiched between Nick Saban and Mark Richt. And that's a tough first gig for a guy that's never been a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, it could turn out to be really good. And I agree. I would grade it higher than the SC and the South Carolina job for sure. I think Miami gets the only. I think Miami gets the highest mark for their hire.
I agree.
USC is just weird to me. I just don't know what to think about that. You know, I've heard some people say that Miami and USC, those jobs aren't what they used to be, and maybe they're not. They probably don't. I bet they don't pay as much as some of the other ones, but we're seeing more and more coaches aren't making decisions based on the financial package. Obviously, some of them do, but Kirby, you're right. Georgia, they're not looking at any kind of rebuilding or transition. They're expecting to beat Missouri.
Yeah. I mean,
SEC championship, and that's what got Mark as much as anything, I think, is Missouri going to the back-to-back SEC championship games is just, boy, I mean, that'll get you. And then Florida this year, I know this is wrong, but I think you'll understand when I say it. It almost wasn't as much as anything Rick did, but what Florida and Missouri did. And you're looking at it, it's like, wait a minute, why aren't we there? How hard is this? If Missouri can come in here, this vaunted conference we've got from whatever conference they came from, and go to back-to-back championship games?
Well, and then you think about the 2 years before Georgia went to their last one, it was South Carolina. South Carolina went to back-to-back SEC championship games. Then Georgia goes to one. Now, they almost beat Alabama with Aaron Murray. But then after that, it was Mizzou twice and then Florida this year.
Yep.
So in the last 6 years, it's been kind of the nobodies as far as recently. I mean, except Florida, it's been kind of the nobodies of the conference with South Carolina and Mizzou going. And then, of course, Florida this year. But Florida was so down last year that, I mean, there was just no excuse for that. And I think maybe it was time for Rick to go. Do I agree with firing him and bringing in Kirby Smart? Not sure about that. But, you know, I thought if Georgia was firing Rick, they had an ace in the hole. And in a big-name guy that was coming in that was specifically proven. Yeah. I mean, I thought they were going to bring in Mark Stoops from Kentucky at least, or Derek Mason from Vanderbilt, you know, one of those guys. Ken Wisenhunt from the Titans, somebody.
He's available.
That was a proven, yeah, free agent.
You're listening to SEC Spin Radio with Jay and BD. Follow us on Twitter at SEC Spin Radio. Jay's tweets, coming in at the pace of 2 per hour on a Saturday. Where were you Saturday, man? You're usually more active than that.
Man, I was actually really focused on the game. I had on the games. I had company over. I had made some chili. I was really trying to be a good host, and I was actually really into the games. And then I was reading some stuff on Twitter that was making me mad, and
do
I just
it for the show, man.
And
do
I just I tried to I
what
tried,
was making you mad?
Just I just was getting a lot. I was seeing a lot of Alabama's overrated, the SEC's overrated, a lot of that stuff, and it's just like, man,
we'll
your
find
team's
out soon enough.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Do you think Alabama suffers from the Patriot effect? They've been so good for so long that's the reason that everybody's so down on them?
We call it Alabama fatigue.
Yeah, I think people want them to lose. Just like last year in the what was that, the third or fourth game of the season when they got just annihilated by the Chiefs, the Patriots did, and they said that the Patriots dynasty is done. Very similar this year. Alabama and Nick Saban's dynasty is over. It's done. It's finished after they lost to Ole Miss, and now here we are, and they're back
it's
in the
over.
Final Four. It's over.
It's over.
It's over. And
Michigan State's going to beat them.
People also saying that once Kirby Smart leaves, Nick Saban's going to retire. I mean, do you really think Nick Saban really cares?
Is some NFL, whiffs of NFL rumors.
Saban's not going back. He's making too much money at Alabama.
I agree with
and
you,
he has
but
too
it's
much
out
control.
There. People surprise you.
Yeah, well, I don't see Calipari going, but I wish he would. I wish Calipari would go to the NBA.
I've got Kentucky fatigue. I know last year killed me.
I was with them every game
of the year.
Glad you're coming around.
They go to 38-0 and they lose in the Final Four. I'm sure I'll crank it back up, but man, it's
glad you're
just
coming
hard.
Around. Glad you're coming
it's
around.
It's hard.
Man. Welcome to the club.
All right, let's look at some of these bowl games. I've got December 29th. And this is the first time I see a Southeastern Conference team in action is not to the 29th. That's after Christmas.
Yep.
And that's the Louisiana State University Tigers versus the Texas Tech. What are they, Raiders? Red Raiders?
Red Raiders.
This is the Advocare V100 Texas Bowl. That's a lot of sponsors.
It's a
there.
Lot of sponsors.
What would it cost, Jeff? What do we have in there for getting an SEC Spin Radio Bowl?
$14.92.
What do you think that would get us? Could we
get a coaster.
So we couldn't get a bowl sponsorship there?
No.
You excited about this game? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
For Les Miles. For Les Miles. And this is going to be one of the things I get to later. I'll come back to this. But Les Miles needs this game. LSU needs this game. Leonard Fournette needs this game. The reports are that he is very upset. His teammates are very upset that he didn't at least get invited to New York. Texas Tech has quite possibly the worst rushing defense in the country. Fournette could go for 300 yards, and that would be amazing. I want to see the kid go for at least 200. 3 or 4 touchdowns, and I want to see LSU, you know, beat them pretty bad. And this would also be big because Texas Tech, if you go back, they blew out Arkansas early in the season. So this would be a nice way for LSU to win in the season. I actually am excited to watch this game, and I hope LSU wins it on Sunday.
Are you serious? Yeah. If they've got a bad rushing defense, to see what Fournette might do to them could be interesting. The crowd's liable to be pretty raucous. It's in Houston, so there's going to be fans on both sides. It's accessible to both LSU and Texas Tech. I mean, it's pretty good ways from. I think it's pretty good ways from Texas Tech. I don't know my Texas geography, but
4 hour drive from Baton Rouge.
Oh, what's the name of that town? Lubbock.
Lubbock. Yeah, 4 hour drive from Baton Rouge. I think it's about 4 or 5.
Yeah, they'll make that drive. That's not bad at all. A game I'm excited about is Auburn Memphis. That's the Birmingham Bowl. December 30th.
It's a first loss for the SEC right there.
Memphis is good. Yeah. I want to see that quarter. I've never seen a 7 foot quarterback play.
Well, I mean, I saw him play
against
Ole Miss, and he looked pretty good. Auburn, just a lot of question marks. They lost their defensive coordinator. I do not
Memphis
see this.
Memphis is losing their coach.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Talent can overcome some things. I just don't see Auburn. I think Auburn is going to be back. I hope that they're back, and I trust that they're going to be back. Not sure I see. Because let's be honest, what is Auburn really playing for in this bowl game, right? Not a whole lot. Memphis is playing. They lost their coach. They're hacked off about that. They're also going to play an SEC team with some historic value in a bowl game. This is going to be their Super Bowl, right?
You think they're going to travel well? It's in Birmingham, since it is the Birmingham Bowl.
Well, I honestly, I'm not sure that matters, because that's probably going to be a middle-of-the-day game, and I really don't think it's going to matter much. Plus, too, that stadium in Birmingham is not all that big. If you think back a few years ago, Kentucky played in that bowl game.
That was awful.
It was terrible. So I don't see that making much of a difference, and I think Memphis is going to win that game.
And you're right. That is a noon kickoff. 3.5 hours later is the Belk Bowl, and that's NC State versus Mississippi State. That's a good one. ACC, SEC. I'm taking Mississippi State. Prescott's last game, right?
Last game. I want to see Prescott go out with the win, and I think that he will. I just think, you know, again, Mississippi State does have some talent there, but Dak Prescott's a special player, so I hope they pull that off, and I think they will.
And then you've got, at 7 o'clock on the frozen tundra, the game you've been waiting for. This is the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl here in Nashville. It's a good matchup here.
It is.
And this is Texas A&M versus Louisville.
Well, pretty awesome bowl gets. I mean, the last 2 years, the
Music City Bowl got
LSU Notre Dame, which is, that's epic if you think about it. I mean, in hindsight, that was one of the coolest things we've ever gotten to do, at least for me. But man, I tell you what, Texas A&M,
as close as we'll ever get to sponsoring a bowl game.
That's right. That's right. Which I'm hoping the Music City Bowl invites us back this year to come back and sit in the press box. But
So what would you ask Bobby Petrino if you got to interview, if you get made it to the press room?
Still dating that girl?
Is this your last game as a Louisville Cardinal?
Where's your brace?
Where's your strippers?
What do you mean the football team doesn't get strippers?
I don't know if they
is
can.
Is just a basketball thing?
I don't know if the football team can afford them up there.
I'm sorry I interrupt, but we digress.
I don't know. I just don't see Louisville. I will say this. The quarterback that they put in against Kentucky, again, I know that's Kentucky, but he looked really good.
I know it's Kentucky, but.
Yeah, I mean, he looked really good. I think Kevin Sumlin and John Chavis, if you give them that much time to prepare for a team, I think they're going to be good. A&M has talent. There's no doubt about it. The Texas A&M has some talent there. Depending on who they go with quarterback, I think they'll go with Kyle Allen. But again, Louisville's bad enough from what I saw against Kentucky defensively that I don't know if they'll be able to stop A&M.
Three teams in action on New Year's Day. Now, this is throwback.
Yeah.
I remember when all I did on New Year's Day and all that day was really good for was just, you know, because you were up late the night before watching football all day long. And I watched games I didn't even care about. And then there was this season of the BCS. They didn't even have games on New Year's Day. It was the craziest thing to me.
So weird.
So New Year's Day football is back.
Yep.
And we've got the Outback Bowl. We've got the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl. The Rose Bowl game presented by Northwestern Mutual, which is Stanford and Iowa. And then the All-State Sugar Bowl, Oklahoma State versus Ole Miss. So good to see the University of Tennessee Volunteers playing on New Year's Day. I think that's real cool.
Yep.
And this matchup is one of the highlights of the bowl season against Northwestern.
Yeah, and I'm just going to be honest. I don't know if there are too many teams out there that want to play Tennessee. I think Tennessee has really figured it out on both sides of the ball. I mean, they're not perfect, but they're a lot better than they were there in that little stretch that they had some struggles with. And again, you think back, Tennessee is that close to being in a BCS bowl game or possibly the playoff. So, and again, the two teams that they took deep into the fourth quarter, one in overtime, are the number two and number four team in the playoffs. So Tennessee is a good team. They're talented. They're well-coached. At least they're well-coached into the fourth quarter. I think this is going to be a game that Tennessee just overpowers Northwestern. Northwestern had some bad blowout losses there. Again, a talented team. I think they also had a pretty favorable schedule as far as the Big Ten Conference was concerned. So I'm going to go with Tennessee in this game.
And then Michigan versus Florida. My prediction for this game is similar to another great Rocky reference. Prediction, pain.
I can't agree with you more. I think Florida's going to get absolutely destroyed. Yeah, I will say both defenses are very good.
Harbaugh's going to hit somebody.
But Harbaugh may go out and punch Treyon Harris just because he's terrible. Just because he's terrible. I don't know. I don't see Florida moving the ball. John Harbaugh is not going to hold anything back against Florida like Nick Saban did against Florida. I don't see this even being close. So I think Michigan blows Florida out.
And I grew up watching the Sugar Bowl. Loved that game and everything about it. Did you ever go to, when you were in New Orleans, did you go to the Sugar Bowl a few times?
Yep, sure did.
I love it. I think it was the SEC winner and then an at-large team. And right. This year it's the Ole Miss. It's Rebels from the University of Mississippi and Oklahoma State. And I'll be tuning in for this one. I'll be pulling for Ole Miss.
Ironically, the year that I did go to the Sugar Bowl was the year that Alabama and LSU played each other for the national championship. So that actually was the first Sugar Bowl that did not have an SEC representative in like 20-something years. It was Virginia Tech versus Michigan, and it was one of the ugliest football games I've ever seen. But a week later was cool because I got to see Alabama and LSU play for the national championship. But the Sugar Bowl this year could be one of the more exciting shootout Sugar Bowls we've seen in a long time. Oklahoma State, Ole Miss, both have awesome offenses, great quarterbacks, great receivers with Treadwell, decent running games, but they also are known in their conferences to have a decent defense. That'd be interesting to see how that matchup plays out. I think both offenses can score. It's going to be interesting to see whose defense is better who matches up better because, like I said, in their respective conferences, Oklahoma State had a reputation of being a decent defense, so did Ole Miss, especially early in the year. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, but I want to see Treadwell win this game. For all he went through last year, I would like to see Ole Miss win this game. But this is going to be a tough one. I would say this is my first real toss-up. I've got two definite losses for the SEC with Florida and Auburn. I think the rest are wins for the SEC. This is going to be my toss-up. Obviously, I'm going to go with Ole Miss as wanting them to win, but it's going to be a toss-up here.
And then in what is perhaps the worst possible slot for a bowl game is January 2nd. Mm-hmm. You've got the last Southeastern Conference team, and that's Georgia, Penn State. In the Tax Slayer Bowl, that's in Jacksonville, Florida, and that's noon on ESPN. And this is Bulldogs against Penn State, but this is James Franklin against Georgia without Mark Richt, who will not be coaching this bowl game. This is just a peculiar matchup here.
This is not a good situation for Georgia. I don't think Penn State is as talented as Georgia. I don't think Penn State is the better team than Georgia. But I think Penn State comes down. Again, you got to think what Penn State and James Franklin are playing for a chance to beat a Georgia Bulldog team that has this number one recruiting class coming in and you know, all this, the SEC, blah, blah, blah. They fired their coach. I mean, James Franklin's going to have his guys fired up and ready to play. I don't see this looking good for Georgia, especially being a noon game. In Jacksonville, it's different if this is a night game. Georgia fans are going to be there. It's a Saturday. Be a big deal. I'm not seeing a whole lot of Georgia fans really being too enthused, right? They're going to have an interim coach. It's not going to be Smart. It's not going to be Rick. You know, it's just not going to feel like a game that you're going to want to go to, especially coming off New Year's Day, New Year's Eve. You're going in the weekend. I mean, is that really what you want to go do if you're a diehard Georgia fan? I'm not sure. Not what I would want to do.
And what we've seen year over year now is because of the success that we had in the BCS, these teams, they get matched up against the Southeastern Conference team. I mean, it's a real bowl game. It's game on. And you've got a program like Georgia coming in to the Tax Slayer Bowl, who in the spring and the preseason, they're thinking SEC championship playoff. This is a consolation. And so you're right. You hinted on the motivation on one side is a whole lot different from the motivation on the other side.
Well, I think Georgia really messed this up here, because you need to have some momentum going into the next season, regardless of who your coach is, right? Why don't you bring Mark Richt in and say, hey, look, we're going to let you go, but we want you to coach the bowl game, because we're going to play in a decent bowl. I mean, playing against an opponent like Penn State's a decent bowl matchup. We want you to coach. We want you to get the last win, have some momentum going in the offseason, and then that will be your last duty as the Georgia football coach. Now, you set your team up to go into the offseason not only with a lot of unknown. Your head coach is down in Miami recruiting against your now head coach, Kirby Smart, that can't coach there yet because he's coaching with another team. You've now set your team up to not only go into the next season with a lot of unknown, but to go into it with a depressing loss against a team that they shouldn't even be playing against. And this is not a good deal for Georgia. So I think this is my third for sure loss for the SEC. That's not a good situation.
And then finally, on January 11th is the College Football Playoff National Championship game presented by your own AT&T. And, you know, we don't know who's there yet, of course. Could be Alabama. And if so, then we'll be talking about that. That's also my youngest daughter's birthday.
That's right. I was there for Grandma and Granddad's anniversary, and you took off.
I did not. I was composed and had it all under control. I don't know what you remember.
No, you were freaking out.
It wasn't freaking out. She was having labor pains. That's
you
just what you do.
Flooring it to Nashville, Tennessee to have that baby.
I did get pulled over.
You did get pulled over.
The policeman said, were you planning on going 90 miles an hour all the way to Nashville? And I said, well, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I was.
Actually, it's funny you ask.
Absolutely, I was. We're having a baby.
Yeah.
I'm in a Honda, and it ain't going to happen in a Honda Civic.
Yeah.
That's what I know. All right, Jay, you want to hit some tweets of the week real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
And now it's time for the SEC Spin Radio Tweets of the Week.
All right, Jay, you want to start us off?
Let's do it.
Tweets of the Week.
Bruce Feldman at Bruce Feldman CFB. Pretty amazing to think hashtag Ole Miss is one of only five schools to make consecutive New Year's Six Bowls. It was 2-10 the year before Hugh Freeze arrived.
Wow.
But last year they got absolutely embarrassed on their New Year's Six Bowl game, so hopefully we don't see a repeat of that.
That's still good for Hugh Freeze. My tweet of the week is Cody McClure at Cody McClure CFB. I don't know at what point of the SEC championship game this was, but he says Bama already has enough points to win, in my opinion. You know, and I think that was at 2-0?
Yeah, the safety.
Yeah.
My tweet of the week is from Tyler Thompson at Mrs. Tyler KSR. 14 years ago today, Tayshaun Prince hit 5 threes in a row against UNC. Still one of the coolest UK sports moments for me. I'll be honest, that was probably the most excited in a regular season game I have ever been watching. I would think that the only other times I can remember getting that excited watching Kentucky play three times, and they were all related to Final Four games. The Tony Delk hitting the 7 threes against Syracuse in that 96 game. The 98 Duke game when they won that in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four. And then the 2012 National Championship because I was actually at the game. But the next best, most exciting experience for me was watching Tayshaun hit those five threes in a row against North Carolina. The last one he shot pretty much from half court and turned to Billy Packard, the Kentucky fan favorite, and just stared him down. So I thought that was pretty amazing.
And we never beat North Carolina. And so, you know, that was the bigger deal for me was, hey, we may actually beat North Carolina. That was in Rupp Arena.
Yep.
Next tweet of the week, Daniel Jeremiah at Move the Sticks. Daniel says, 50% of tweets today, SEC defense is awesome. 50% of tweets today, SEC QB play is garbage.
That's true.
He says both 100% correct. I don't think it has been a good year for Southeastern Conference quarterbacks.
This is from Cecil Hurt, at Cecil Hurt, kind of alluded to this earlier. So the SEC East has hired had three head coaching vacancies this year and hired three SEC defensive coordinators. That's thinking outside the box.
Yeah, that's the one that we tweeted back and forth on that. That was the eye raiser on that one. Is like, wow, yeah, that's right. It's not real creative. And I guess it's a tip of the hat to the SEC West.
Yeah.
But, my goodness, it's a can't beat them, join them. Do something different. What you say about Saban probably applies just as much to these hires. You can't beat them at their own game.
Well, I think, too, I think college football struggles is, you know, the NFL's, that slogan in the NFL, it's a copycat league. College football is completely the opposite, in my opinion. You want to – it's all about recruiting that is going to out-stratitize.
Just make it up. Just go with it.
Yeah, out-stratitize. That's not a real word. That's why they call me a fake doctor. I'm not a real doctor. I would know that. You're going to want to come up with a strategy that's going to be completely opposite of your opponent to beat them and recruit players that your opponent's not recruiting. It's different in the NFL. You're drafting the same group from the same group of guys. You can recruit from a different kind of group of guys and come and beat your opponent. And again, Nick Saban has set the standard in the league. The only teams to come in and beat him are teams like Ole Miss that throw it all around. Now, they got real lucky this year. And then Urban Meyer in Florida and the way that they did it with Tebow and that group. So you can't beat Nick Saban in his own game.
Ohio State last year.
Not beating him at his own game.
Yeah, that's right. All right, next tweet. Friend of the show, Dr. SEC at – Doctor at the Doctor SEC, Greg McGarrity has watered down the brand of UGA so much that a coordinator can dictate when he arrives on campus to be head coach. And it's just more of the same. We've already and really probably talked about this too much, but here's another tweet to the same effect. Georgia just doesn't think as much of the job, perhaps, as I would hope.
Yep, I agree. Not Jerry Tipton at Not Jerry Tipton.
Oh, here we go.
Michigan State headed to playoffs, which means Ohio State isn't, which means UK had as many regular season wins over ranked teams as Ohio State did.
Ooh.
That's a rough year.
Which is what, zero?
Zero.
So is that the – all right. And then my last one is SportsCenter here. This is from the SEC championship game. This is just a staggering statistic. Alabama outgained Florida 137-1 in the second quarter of the hashtag SEC championship. 1 yard.
That's
in a quarter.
That's amazing.
Alabama's defense is good. It's not that good.
I agree with you there. My last one, again, this is from Bruce Feldman. He really has – I've really enjoyed reading his tweets this year. At Bruce Feldman CFB, 12 FBS head coaching jobs have already been officially filled this year. Amazing part is that 9 have gone to coordinators or interim head coaches.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure.
I don't know what you do with that.
Well, if you look at the history,
people are just staying put.
Well, we read a couple of tweets last week that were, you know, having to do with the history of hiring these coordinators, at least in the SEC, and how badly that's played out, right? I mean, the guys like Ron Zook, Will Muschamp yet again. I mean, guys.
Rick was a coordinator.
Derek Mason. Again, I was.
What was James Franklin? He's an
offensive. Yeah, Franklin was an offensive guy.
Is he a coordinator,
right?
Though? Or are you just talking about defensive coordinators?
Well, no, I'm just talking about coordinators in general. And I think that was the point of. I mean, this is the SEC. This is the league that has the most prestige. you know, act like. I mean, if I'm South Carolina, I'm making phone calls to guys all over the country.
They're
hey,
they're paying more than anybody else.
Well, and guess who's
14 of the top 30?
Yeah, and you think about your in-state. I mean, your in-state rival, who's number one in the country, that increases your property value. As far as I'm concerned, and the fact that North Carolina is good. I mean, it's there's talent around there, and if you have the confidence, and a lot of these coaches are so cocky that they feel like they can go do anything. And I would go after somebody other than just a random coordinator. And again, to me, Will Muschamp is kind of a random coordinator in the fact that he has failed as a head coach already. He didn't do a good job at Auburn at all. In fact, Auburn was ready to let him go, and I'm pretty sure Auburn's about to bring back Gene Chizik as a defensive coordinator, which is fascinating. But I just
can't see that working.
I can't see it working either. But I just don't see that working out well at all for Will Muschamp in South Carolina. And I know I've said that already, but you just go after somebody.
I'm not sure
Georgia. I'm going to be honest. I'm not sure Georgia or South Carolina contacted anybody else. It would not shock me if those were the only phone calls that were made.
Well, Pat Hayden bragged about it. Now, I can see Georgia not contacting. Hey, if it's your guy, if Kirby Smart's your guy, then by all means, just make it happen. And I think you and I agree it could work. I mean, we're not sitting here saying that it's a bad, at least I don't feel like I'm saying it's a bad hire, and I'm not saying they're doomed. It just feels like they didn't shoot high enough. South Carolina, if that's the only phone call they made, that's terrible.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't think that that's the case. But I think the landscape's changing as well. I think it's a little bit tougher because of the TV money and ESPN, other universities. I think it's leveled the playing field a little bit. I think quality of life is coming into play. I think coaches have seen their peers flame out, and they have families and don't want to move. It's kind of interesting. It's really kind of interesting. I'm not sure that it is just a matter of it's just a bad hire. It may have been that the pool was somewhat limited. I think that was probably the case with USC,
yeah,
and maybe even Miami. So that's why I think the Miami hire is really good. South Carolina is the one that still, I mean, we hate to beat a dead horse. That's one that just is a little bit of a head scratcher to me because there's no connection there that I'm aware of. Muschamp, was he a Georgia guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that makes a little more sense there. But maybe it's hard to believe South Carolina couldn't have gotten someone with that at least wasn't. Because you know how, like, who was it? Lenardi. When he's doing his, what does he call it? Bracketology. He's got up arrow, down arrow.
Yeah.
For trends.
Yeah.
At least get that guy with the up arrow by his name.
Yeah.
And not the down arrow.
Yeah, Muschamp probably had three or four down arrows next to his name. I mean, especially the way Auburn defense just didn't even really improve this season. I know it maybe take a year or two to get your guys, but you would think Auburn being the worst defense in the SEC West last year, they would at least improve somewhat with Muschamp coming in, and they really didn't.
Somewhat. I mean, it wouldn't take much.
Yeah.
Well, that's gonna wrap up the content for tonight. You got any Merry Christmas wishes for anybody out there?
I wish that LSU would win their bowl game. I talked about that earlier. I wish LSU would win their bowl game. I wish Georgia would win their bowl game to give them some sort of momentum going in. But then part of me kind of hopes that they lose just for Mark Richt. I kind of hope that they lose for Mark Richt.
You're not the biggest Georgia guy in the room anyway.
Yeah, just a little bit of that. I wish that Alabama would show up and play the way that they're capable of playing and not let up. And I heard a guy say today that after interviewing Nick Saban, he said he felt that last year his guys just were happy to make the Final Four and thought and treated that as the goal. But this year, the team's mentality is different. And I hope that's true, and that's why I truly believe he was not showing anything against Florida. I think he has bigger fish to fry. And for all the people that said his dynasty was over and he was done at Alabama, I don't think Nick Saban didn't hear that. So. I think he's coaching with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, and that's why I think Alabama is dangerous. But I still, again, I'm scared of Oklahoma. I'm not going to lie. I think that is a scary team. But I really wish the SEC shows up, doesn't just settle for the, you know, doesn't feel complacent. It doesn't feel like they're just playing for a consolation prize, as you put it earlier. I hope that they all show up and really make it competitive and finish with only two or three losses.
Couple of Christmas wishes on my side. My first one goes to the University of Tennessee Vols and Vol Nation, that they would absolutely blow out Northwestern and come into next spring just feeling really good, because this is my message to you. SEC East needs you, UT. We need you.
Bad.
Bad. I have a Christmas wish for the Kentucky Wildcats, that they would actually deliver something other than just defeats in the second half of the season next year. And so if they get started,
they didn't
even
make my wish list. They didn't even make my wish list this year.
So Christmas wish list. My Christmas wish to my friends in Lexington is if the football Wildcats would give us a second half. Just give us a second half of the season. Something.
Something.
Anything. And I guess I would I wished for Will Muschamp and Kirby Smart and Butch Jones and all the rest of the guys in the SEC East. Let's give these guys a run, and I would like to see, and so as a part of this, I would like to see the Southeastern Conference be something other than just Alabama. We talk a lot about it, but really when you get right down to it, the past few years, it's just been Alabama. We had Auburn had a spring up there, but, you know, when they beat Oregon that one year and the year of Cam. But really, when you get right down to it, this time of year, it's been Alabama.
Since 2009, I mean, the only time we've even really considered other teams was one year with LSU and Alabama, then beat them in the national championship.
Yeah.
Well, and then 2 years at Auburn was there. And, Auburn got their national championship and then played for another one, and good for them. But outside of that, I mean, it's been just Alabama. So I would like to see – I respect Nick Saban in Alabama, but it would be fun to see Tennessee, you know, play for a big, you know, Final Four. It'd be fun to see if we get two teams in the Final Four next year, maybe Tennessee and Alabama, or Tennessee LSU with Fournette coming back. I mean, anything like that. I think LSU is going to be fun to watch next year with Leonard Fournette coming back. I would hope they can figure out a quarterback situation, but I'm kind of like you. I respect Alabama, but it would be fun to see a team come out and dominate. And just be that Alabama of next year.
And we would like to thank everyone out there, and we wish you the merriest of Christmases. Thank you for hanging with us. We're going to take a couple of weeks off to be with our families and just recharge. And I would encourage everyone that's listening to remember the reason that we celebrate Christmas, and that's the birth of Jesus Christ. But I would go one step further than that. I would encourage you to look at Isaiah 61:1. This is Jesus' mission: to bind up the brokenhearted, to exchange ashes for beauty, and to set free the captives. So wishing everyone out there a Merry Christmas. Thanks for being with us. Follow us on Twitter at SEC Spin Radio.
Merry Christmas, and drop the gun.